It's time for Mac Break Weekly, and the invitations are out, ladies and gentlemen. I have something from Apple in this box. We'll find out. Maybe it's my invitation. Maybe it's my iPad mini. That's so exciting. We'll open the box, give you the latest rumors on the Apple event coming up next week. Renee Ritchie joins us from iMore. Alex Lindsay from Washington, D.C. Mac Break Weekly is next. I wonder what's in the box.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 321, recorded October 16th, 2012. Hollow it out like a tauntaun. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Ford, featuring available sync. Now you can control your media player with simple voice commands. Enjoy your drive while you easily search and listen to your favorite songs. Check it out on the 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You can share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code MACBREAK. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or Android smartphone. Find out what your gadget is worth and get cash to upgrade to the latest phone at gazelle.com. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continual, unlimited backup for your computer files. Only $59 a year. Try it free at carbonite.com. Use the offer code MACBREAK to get 2 bonus months with purchase. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that talks all about everything, including today, actual Macintoshes. Alex Lindsay will be joining us a little later. Where is he? He's somewhere in the world. We don't know. Albuquerque?
Yeah, he didn't give us a location.
I have a feeling he had something to do with that guy jumping out of the weather balloon.
I have a feeling, too.
Yeah. So maybe he's still there.
Yeah.
New Mexico. Yeah. But good news, we got Renee Ritchie from iMore.com with us, and this is the guy. If there were anybody you'd want to have on a day like today, it'd be this guy every day. Renee Ritchie, good to have you.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you for having me back. I appreciate it.
I got a box.
Is it a mini? Is it an iPad mini, Leo Laporte?
Well, I'm looking, and it's from AI, which I used to think in Elk Grove, California, I used to think was the artificial intelligence company, and then I realized, no, it's Apple Incorporated. They don't want to put the word Apple on a box because it would get stolen.
Looks about the right size.
I'm thinking, well, there's 3 possibilities. It could be an invitation to the Apple event coming up next week. Sounds a little solid for that. It could be, maybe Apple's relented and sent me an iPad mini just like as one of the very special people. You know, the ones who, you know, are ahead of the pack. Or, let's just open it up and see.
Unboxing live.
It could be an iPod Touch. Could be. I think it might be. I've ordered a number of things from Apple. I did order the new iPod Nano. Could be the Nano. Those are coming out, right?
The rule is the bigger the box, the smaller the thing.
Right. It's a bunch of connectors. Well, hey, at least they're out. The Lightning 30-pin adapters are starting to ship, I guess. And you can see I've spent $120. There's 3 of them. What are they? Are they 30 or 40 bucks each? They're ridiculous.
I got the tiny, tiny little one.
These aren't the adapters. These are the cables because I have all those docks. Well, wait a minute. Is that going to work? Yeah. So I could put this on a dock, right?
Yeah, you could. That you can just stick into your computer and the cables. You put that on a dock, connect it to your iPhone, and it's as if you lived last year again.
Somebody, Obsidian in the chat room said, Leo, you fool! It's all about AirPlay. Not on the Renew clock. Of course, I gave that to Chad, so I don't need that anymore. But that's a 30-pin adapter. And
Battery packs.
I have a ton of those.
Yeah.
And then I also, the main thing is my Sonos dock. And actually, if this doesn't work, and one of the things I'm going to see is will this work to allow me control of the because as it stands right now in the Sonos dock, you know, used to be I was able to tell the Sonos, you know, look and see what was on the iPad or iPod, iPhone Touch, that kind of thing.
Any media or car needs one of those connectors because they all have the legacy.
But explain to me, because only you know, Rene Ritchie, and a small few, Dan Frakes and you. Explain to me, does this have what iPod controls on it or not?
Apple had this thing on their website where it said that it did not support the iPod control protocol, but then they took it off, which has made me terribly confused. And mine literally just arrived this morning, so I haven't had a chance to try it.
I haven't either. Fam Photographer in our chat room says, I got the cable and I used it in my car. It worked perfectly. Worked for audio, yes, but did it work so that you could use, if your car is one of those like a Mercedes or BMW that then puts on the screen the contents of the iPod, were you then able to do all that? That's the question. Now, the nice thing on my Mustang with Ford Sync is I have a USB connector. I put the Lightning cable in that, and it did. It had all the iPod controls on it.
And there's no video yet. That's the other big thing we're still missing.
Yeah, that's for air. I think AirPlay has superseded on that. In that, right? You'd use an Apple TV
if you have the Apple TV. So the Apple TV then becomes the go-to accessory.
That's what you need.
Video.
You need that $99 accessory
dongle.
So we're learning a little more about this cable, and more people are taking it apart. The latest is that this accessory has security in it, some logic in it that protects it. I'm going to bury the lead, by the way, because Apple did not send me an invitation or an iPod or a mini. I'm not going to talk about anything else but this cable because that's what they sent me. But I got them. I have spent over $200 on Lightning cables so they can use my damn iPhone 5. So tell me what. So there's always been security.
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple generations ago, they added the security chip. And it just, the old 30-pin docks, they had so many pins, they could have separate pins that would detect what kind of accessory you had plugged in, and then a chip inside the cable. And now it's a pure digital signal, so they can assign the pins dynamically, and they still have the security chip just to assure the quality of the workman and craftsmanship for us, Leo.
Just to assure, yeah, ChipWorks has done a little analysis of this. They say just enough security. In other words, it's not huge security. It's just kind of minor security. They could put more in, I guess, is what ChipWorks is saying. It's not, for instance, the kind of security that modern printer cartridges have so that you can't use third-party printer cartridges. This is the old security. The old printer cartridges used to have that kind of thing.
The more interesting thing is they've also changed the licensing agreement for the docks so that previously you could make small manufacturers could get licensed to make small batches of very obscure cables or scientific instruments, and now it looks like pretty much you have to be a big supplier
really
to make dock accessories. Yes, yeah, so that might
that's a shame because that was a kind of cool use, little known use for these was scientific instrumentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So a couple of things, lessons for this consumer. Probably you should not try to buy those USB cables on eBay that are real cheap from China, because those will charge but not do anything else, right?
Apparently they have cracked the security chips,
and
you will be able to get, or secondarily manufactured them, and you will be able to get some. But it's a quality issue for me. I'd want to test a bunch of them and make sure that they at least were supplying the same quality cabling that Apple was.
Well, at this point, I'm at the point I'm testing Apple's cable to see what we can do, and we're not sure yet. Obsidian, or who was it that said? That he could use this in his car? Photographer, were you able to control the iPhone with this as you did the old iPhone, or do you just get audio out? Is the question. Fam Photographer, thank you. We'll wait and see what Fam Photographer has to say.
The crazy thing, Leo, is they can put the iPhone 5 in a million countries on day one, but it takes 30 days to get those adapters to U.S. stores.
And although some have said it's okay, but I have to try it with the camera connection kit, too. It's a little pricey, and the question is, well, does it have to be this pricey, or is Apple making a little killing on
this? They are doing, because the cable changes dynamically, so
it's
pretty sophisticated. Probably some logic, in there.
And there's an ADD. So we have it from Fan Photographer. Yes, I was able to control the playlists with the adapter. It worked just like before. So that's really good news. And I had the same experience on an iPhone 5 and Ford Sync, just using the regular Lightning USB cable. So it does sound like iPod control out is in here. Thank goodness. Oh, that's right. The camera connection kit never did work with the iPhone.
iPad only.
iPad only. That's right. All right. All right. I buried the lead. I was a bad boy. When we come back, Renee is with iMore. They know more about everything. You have become the key blog for Apple Rumors, beating everybody like from 9 to 5 and Apple Insider and Mac Rumors. They all quote you. Somehow you've got a source. So, and it looks like you nailed it again. So we'll find out what's coming from Apple. We do know there's an event. The invitations are out. We'll show you that invitation and talk about. The invitation doesn't say what they're going to talk about. Well, Renee will know this, though. We'll ask him in just a bit. Also, as I said, Alex Lindsay will be joining us any minute now, I think, as we continue. So I'm going to take a break so that Alex, you could try to get Alex, okay? This show brought to you, well, I might as well talk about Ford Sync since I've been talking about it, right? You know, I kind of go on and on, as most Ford Sync owners do, about my Ford Sync and my 2010 Mustang. It is awesome. And yes, I'm here to report that the iPhone 5 works great with the A2DP. That's the Bluetooth. So when I get in the car, you know, if I've got the Audible app running and I'm listening to my book, I get in the car and it starts where I left off. Love that. It also works. They have a USB connector in the car that connects up to your iPod, your iPhone, a lot of devices, Android phones. And depending on the device, certainly the iPhone and the iPod gives you control of it. So I can browse the playlist on the sync screen. I have a big screen in my car. All of that control is still there. Oh, and most importantly, I can voice control my iPhone, and I do love that. So I could press the button. So I have a little button on my steering wheel, like bong, and I talk to the nice lady, and I say, you know, sync, USB, and I can say, play Niles Rogers. And if I have any Niles Rogers song on my iPod or iPhone, it will play. Or Metallica. It doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to just be Niles Rogers. It could be Metallica. Could be anybody. I tried this. It even understands I don't even understand it. Colby Kayat. It knows. And it plays it. Amazing. Ford Sync lets you browse your music collection by genre, album, artist, playlist, or song title, all with voice commands. You can use Sync to activate your media player. It even say, play my, you know, moody playlist. Or, I love this one, play similar music. So you listen to a song. Hey, I like that. Play more. You can use iTunes tagging. So if you say, I like that song, this is on available sync with my Ford Touch and HD radio technology with iTunes tagging. If you hear a song on the HD radio or the player, you could tag it, transfer it to the iPod, and purchase a song later from iTunes. It like says, you tag this song. You want it? Really, really cool. And, of course, you get voice control on your smartphone via Bluetooth streaming, on your USB drive. You could put a thumb drive or a USB drive in there, of course, on your MP3 player as well. Ford Sync is now available. This is really the best news. On every 2012, 2013 Ford vehicle sold in the U.S., including that great 2012 Ford Focus. Optional equipment on some, but definitely get it. In fact, I got an email. I was just talking about this from somebody who says, hey, I just bought a Ford because of your Ford Sync ads. Who do I tell? You can tell me. I think he wants us to get credit from Ford. Like, hey, by the way, Ford, I just want you to know. Let me see if I can find his Jason. I won't say his last name. I bought a Ford. Who do I tell? Bought a 2013 Ford Escape because Leo's ads for Sync were a big factor in my decision. Jason, you're going to love that Escape, by the way. Let me know how you like it. You just told me. That's good enough. I think that's hysterical. I got that this morning. Learn more about Ford and all the technology they're putting into their cars. They really see the vehicle now as a consumer electronics device for the 21st century. I want you to... Niall Gregory Rogers. That's him. I want you to try it. You could do that at, is it at Ford? You could tweet it. That would let him know, at Ford. Scott Monty would keep, I think Scott has a little clipboard in his office. And when he sees a tweet that says, oh yeah, Twit told me to buy a Ford, and he just puts a little checkbox there. Or visit Ford.com/technology. There's no offer code. Get 20% off. No, I see. I don't even want to say that because somebody will believe me. Hey, Leo said you'd get 20% off. No, I don't think so. Colby Kayat. Is that right? Or Kyla?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know her?
No.
Yeah, you You're not hip like me.
I guess not.
You young people don't know the good stuff.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is an announcement to be made. October 23rd, Apple will be having a special event. Jim Dalrymple got the invite. Did you get your invite, Renee?
I did not. Alas, I did not.
Let me just maybe the box. You know, I didn't look. It could have been.
Wait, checking my drunk drawer. Nothing.
No, just a bill. So, no, I didn't get an invite either. We don't know if Andy. I'm sure Andy did. It is one of those little things at the Apple campus, not Yerba Buena Center. This will be at the. Wait a minute. No, it says the California Theater. Is that the one in One Infinite, or is that somewhere else? I don't know.
It is a smaller venue. It's not the Yerba Buena venue.
And what now? They say in the invitation, we've got a little more to show you.
Yeah.
Oh.
A little.
I love on Loop Insight, which is the Loop, which is Jim Dalrymple's blog. I just do notice that his HTML tag, the title for this is Apple iPad Event. But that's Jim. But you know, yeah. He did that on purpose. You know, Jim doesn't mess around. That's his little way of saying, by the way, that's the iPad event. So we do expect a 7.85-inch iPad mini, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an iPad and Mac event, I think. The Macs will be the smaller second course, the way iPods were last month with the iPhone event.
We hear, and I'd love to know if this is accurate according to your sources, of a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that to be accurate. It also, I like the rumors are one thing, but I like it when they sort of make logical sense. And if you look at a Retina Mac, the 15-inch MacBook is almost maxed out on the GPU running that Retina display. And you have to add a GPU to the 13-inch MacBook to get it to run a Retina display. And there's no room for that kind of battery or that kind of GPU in a MacBook Air. And when you get bigger, like the iMacs, the displays are just too big to have good pricing or good yield yet. So the only logical next Retina Mac is the 13-inch, and that's the one they're going to go with.
Should be easier to run, too, because it's small, it won't have as many pixels as the 15.
Yeah, so a little bit smaller.
Not quite as demanding. But they will have to put an NVIDIA or similar GTX card in there.
Yeah, I imagine. It's quite a heavy load. If you imagine it's 800 now, it's going to be pixel double to 1600 vertical height, which is it's a lot of pixels to push.
I love my Retina, but I do see lag from time to time. I mostly eliminate it, but occasionally I'll see lag, especially when I'm using the expose to slide the windows back and forth.
Yeah. Or when you go full screen mode.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I go. So yeah. What I do is I do full screen mode, and then I swipe back and forth to different screens, and that's when you see a little bit of lag in drawing the screen. The rumor is, according to Mark Gurman in 9to5 Mac, it will be sold at a higher price, and they'll continue to sell non-Retina 13 inches.
It should be identical to the way they handled the 15-inch MacBook, where it comes in at a higher price point with the Retina display, the new body without the optical drive, and with the USB and the Thunderbolt connectors. And then they'll keep the lower-end ones on the market until they transition the Retina Macs to become the new normals.
So we will lose the, because it has a thinner form factor, we will lose the SuperDrive.
I believe so, yeah. I think it's going to be almost exactly like a smaller, more compact version of the 15-inch MacBook Pro.
Do we know how well the Retina sold? Do we know? And Apple's quarterly report is coming up soon. Quarterly results are coming up soon. But they never do break down the individual models, do they?
No. And, I mean, the first day they announced it at WWDC, there were lineups every day at that Apple store. And they didn't have enough to meet demand. So it's probably one of those situations where they're literally building and selling everyone they can.
I bet you if somebody could, I mean, I don't know who supplies these Retina displays, but there can't be, was it Sharp or LG? There can't be that many sources for it. I bet you if you could get in, you know, wangle your way in there, maybe get, I don't know, somebody from Saturday Night Live to go in there, pretend to be a Chinese worker, you could.
Will Farrell can do an expose.
You could find out how many of the displays. LG supplies displays, but I think they have a second source. I can't remember if it's Samsung or Sharp.
They have three now for iOS devices. But with the new Macs, they're laminating the panels. So they're doing everything they can to get the pixels closer to the surface.
Right.
And that makes it a more expensive and more arduous process.
I love the Retina MacBook.
Me too.
And my next project is to buy a external Thunderbolt display to go with that. So it now really is a desktop.
I'm using that. There's a couple drawbacks because the Thunderbolt's not Retina, so the pixels do scratch your eyes a little bit.
Wait a minute.
And if you
what?
So the Thunderbolt display is not a Retina display. It's still a regular panel, the 27-inch Thunderbolt.
Well, of course not. You couldn't do a 27-inch Retina.
So if you drag a window, the minute it hits halfway between, it switches to non-Retina, and then if you drag it back, it switches back. And you also can't do the high-res mode on the Retina Mac when you're driving the panel because it's too much for the GPU. So it goes into the ideal mode on the computer, and then you have the Thunderbolt display as well.
You use the... Wow, I'm impressed. You use that high-res mode?
I do for Photoshop because it lets me get... For Photoshop, I have a...
Because Photoshop's not Retina aware. Because Aperture is. So it will just automatically use the pixels. But Photoshop's using 1440...
Yes.
Because it doesn't know that there's more to be had.
Yeah, so I make it as... I max out as many pixels as I can get mostly
you're
for Photoshop.
Crazy. Okay, but you can't do that on a 20. So the 27 is basically like it's attached to an older Mac.
Yeah, like, well, it's in Retina mode. It's just it's not in the big Retina mode. It's
I don't get
ideal
it. I'm
for
confused.
Retina.
It's not in, okay. Do I so I get more pixels out of the 27 or not?
You get the additional display.
You do.
Yeah, so it goes back to the default setting on your Retina Mac, and then you get the additional display.
Okay.
It's an okay solution. It's not the ideal.
It's not perfect. Well, that's good. Thank you for letting me know that. And I was going to use, the nice thing about the MacBooks, and everybody knows this who's watching the show, but I'll just say it in case you don't, is that you don't have to open them up. You just you just slide it, and they have three connectors. They have a Thunderbolt, a power. I guess just two for the Thunderbolt.
Yeah, there's two now.
Because the USB goes through the Thunderbolt and power. The Mac is sitting there. It's being charged. The Thunderbolt... And then you have your keyboard if you could use Bluetooth or if you have a wired keyboard, it's plugged into the display. And you're using it as a desktop without even opening the laptop. It just
knows. It just stays in clamshell mode. It's
mode.
Really nice.
Yeah.
And you can plug Ethernet into the back of the display now, too. And it's basically got everything you need.
Ah, so that's a reason. Because I have the old 27-inch. That's a reason to get the Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
Very good. $1,000. It's only money. Okay, so and then I presume the 13-inch you'll be able to do something similar.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you buy it, Leo, that means the new one will come out faster, which is good for all of us.
No, I can't do it. But I might buy a Mac Mini. No, I'm not going to do that either because that's the other rumor that we'll see a new Mac Mini.
New Mac Minis and iMacs. I think the Mac
new iMacs too.
Yep,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, the Mac Mini will probably just be updated to the latest specs. So whatever the latest Intel chipset they use in there is USB 3, Thunderbolt, probably the same configurations we've seen previously.
The Ivy Bridge, because that way you get USB built into it.
Yeah.
And it'll still be unibody aluminum.
Yep. I don't think we're in radical redesign stage. We're just in upgrade the components.
Yeah,
stage.
That makes sense. New logic board with new processors. And USB 3 is actually really nice. I like USB 3. In fact, a good thing about USB 3 is you can get inexpensive USB 3 thumb drives and external hard drives, and they're pretty darn fast. I was getting write speeds of 230 megabytes, not bits, megabytes a second on the, I had a HyperX from Kingston USB drive, USB
They're thumb almost drive. Transparent now. You can just use them as, like normal drives.
Yeah, really nice, especially if you have an SSD. Will they put SSDs in the Mac Minis?
I think so. I think Apple, because you want to use stuff like PowerNap, a lot of the new features in Mountain Lion require the SSD drive to work. And I think Apple's clearly said we're going to have an SSD future.
I didn't know that. PowerNap requires an SSD.
Yeah. So it's only available right now on the Retina Macs and the newest MacBook Airs, I believe.
Huh. Why does PowerNap require an SSD?
Because it's kind of a hybrid. It's like a dark wake mode. It's a hybrid between sleeping and awake. And the power consumption on a spinning drive, I think, is too high for Apple to do what they want using PowerNap. So on an SSD, it's a much lower power drain.
Sure. Well, that would be perfect. How do I know if PowerNap is working, by the way?
It no longer
throbs at me. You know, the Retina just it sits there quietly. I don't know if it's not throbbing anymore.
Yeah, it kind of just spools up, checks things, and then spools down.
It
so
just
if you
does
open
it.
Your computer, yeah. So if you open your computer and everything is updated, it's working. Otherwise, you can just go and.
Is there a power nap button?
I believe it's in settings.
Okay, I'll go back and look.
Power saving, if memory serves.
Somebody said you can get SSDs in the current Mac Minis. You can get a 256 gig solid state drive for $600 premium over the 500. gig serial ATA.
The difference is you don't want the kind that are made like laptop drives, almost like plug and play replacements. Apple, I think, requires the ones that are actually real SSD chips built into the machine. So they're not going through the old standard.
They're not just taking out the drive and putting it on the SATA bus. They're doing like they do with the Retina, which is, it looks like a little. In fact, I have it because I did the upgrade, so I have the old one. I should bring it in and show everybody. Otherworld Computing sells for a kind of prohibitive price, but hey, it's your Retina. You've got to give it the good things.
If you want a race car instead of a street car.
But it looks like an SODIMM, like the old, but the connector's on the side. And it's actually, we did it on KnowHow. It's a trivial upgrade. In fact, I told Ayaz, I said, this isn't a 30-minute show. This is going to take me 3 minutes. You remove six screws, you take off the thing. There's one more screw, a Torx screw in the computer. You do have to, Otherworld Computing says, remove the battery connector. And I don't know exactly why. I guess maybe a little corner of it is over the SSD, but it's a simple thing to do. You pry that off, you remove the Torx screw, take out the old drive, put in the new drive, screw it down again, put back the battery connector, return their pentalobe screws, but Otherworld Computing gives you both the screwdrivers you need, and return the back to its position, screw down the, is it six, maybe eight screws, and you're done. Takes no time, and it's a nice upgrade. It is a little bit faster. So currently in the Mac Mini, they're using that kind of hard drive, not a SATA drive.
No, I believe they're using SATA.
They are in the current Mac Mini. Yeah. So you'll get better. That will be a nice feature. It'll also be able to make the Mac Mini smaller. I don't know if they'll do that, but if they use SSD, then you really could even make it thinner.
Yeah, I'm not sure how aggressive they're going to be with the Mac Mini upgrade. They usually announce the new body, and then they do a couple years of, you know, it's a TikTok upgrade model. They do the new hardware, then a couple years of incremental upgrades, and then they do the next version. So it'll be interesting to see if they do go to the full-on SSD model this time.
Who uses Minis, and what do they use them for?
Aside from Mac Mini Colo.
Oh, Alex Lindsay's here. Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Yeah, the Mac Mini Colo is cool, but we'll talk about that in a second because that's really cool. But let's say hi to Alex Lindsay. Where are you today, Alex?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
I want to thank you because you set us up on Sunday with an interview.
How did that go?
Went great. Scott was the technical director for the Stratus skydive, the Felix Baumgartner's 24-mile high skydive, and you got us hooked up with Scott. He was very generous. He gave us about 5 minutes of his time. In fact, if you haven't heard this Sunday's Twit, listen or watch, because you can, right at the beginning, we interview Scott. He was great. Now, he says he knows you. Is he a Pixel Core guy?
No, I worked with Scott on a couple other streaming projects. We generally, when the project is nearly impossible, Scott and I end up on the project.
I can't think of a more impossible project than that one. And it went off flawlessly. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, the video was so crystal clear of Felix Baumgartner sitting in that capsule. And then he just kind of pushes himself out. And if you missed it, it was amazing.
I was watching that going, I don't know if he understands, but that is the distance from Petaluma to San Francisco, and he's jumping out of...
That's a long way. I understand that part, but what's amazing is, I guess he was using very highly directional microwave links up there, but they got... Hello?
Sorry, I'm in a hotel room somewhere. A big hotel room.
You want to go get...
Very
go ahead.
Large one.
You got breakfast.
No. There's people out there. This is another room part of it. It's a big hotel room.
Lisa's cell phone makes that sound as a ring. So anytime I hear a ding dong, I don't know whether to answer the door or answer the phone. So he told us, I didn't know this, that they had a red camera up there. It was not the 5K Epic, but the 4K Scarlett, I guess that is, right?
Yes.
Up there. So they'll have 4K video. I was just blown away at the quality of the coverage. Anyway, so it was a great conversation. He did amazing.
It was funny.
Yeah. I thought maybe you were there because it was also an amazing record for YouTube. And I know you do some streaming stuff, 8 million live views, simultaneous views, which is not just a record, but it's like blowing it out of the park. The previous record was set during the Olympics, 500,000.
Yeah, feel like when I was trying to connect, I could feel YouTube. There was some connection errors and so on and so forth, and I was like, wow, this must be really pushing the envelope of what that system's designed to do. And sure enough, it was. I mean, there's nothing been close. I don't think.
And Chad pointed out, I think this is a really good observation. or maybe it was John that did, that now you could say with, you know, there's a certain amount of parity between streaming and broadcast. Because
yes.
It was always, you know, I remember when 128,000 was the most, it was an AOL concert event. And then we pushed 180,000 during the iPad launch, and I think that was a record briefly. And then 500,000 during the Olympics, and now,
million. I think that one of the things that proves is that people will show up in the millions for the right project, you know, for the right stream. People are, you know, live video streaming has really reached critical mass in a way that we all knew it would. I think a lot of us thought it would happen 10 years ago, now we're kind of finally there.
So anyway, welcome. It's good to have you. Thank you for joining us. Good, we appreciate it. Renee Ritchie is here from iMore. Andy is somewhere in the air. He's flying
and
somewhere.
He didn't log in? Obviously picked the wrong flight. He's
he should have been in a Virgin, and he would have been flying in.
He's getting ready to reduplicate the jump.
I'd love to send the spacesuit the hat. I just would love to see that. And then he jumps out and the hat goes flying.
Did you see the tweets where they called it a hoax and they said the Mythbusters has to recreate?
Yeah, unless Adam Savage does it, I don't believe it.
Exactly.
I believe it. we were talking, and I don't know, you know, how much you're wired in, but apparently invitations have gone out for an Apple event on October 23rd. I don't know if I mentioned that. That's next Tuesday. What I didn't mention is how we're going to cover it. We always do cover these Apple events, and we'll move TNT an hour earlier. It'll be 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. Then at 10 a.m. we'll go to live coverage of the Apple event. That's 1 p.m. Pacific, 1700 UTC on Tuesday the 23rd. Followed that by a special Mac Break Weekly. So thank you, Apple. We don't have to move things around. Usually they do these things on Wednesday. I know why they didn't. Because on Friday, Windows 8 ships, and they thought, well, we'll give them a couple of days to.
There's also the Samsung Next Big Thing event.
Say again, Renee?
There's the Samsung Next Big Thing event in New York on Wednesday.
Criminally. I know what that is. I already got it. That's the Note.
Yep.
Note 2, which is ginormous. You know,
it is on Wednesday.
Yeah. It's so funny because the screen of the Note 2, the whole screen is actually bigger than the iPhone.
You could hollow it out like a Tauntaun and use it as a case for your iPhone.
That would be hysterical to have a case that looks like a Note 2. Anyway, I do need a case, but I'll talk about that in a second. I completely discredit this, but somebody in the mainstream media, I think it was CNN, posited, Apple's trying to zing Microsoft, as if Apple could care less when the Windows event is. Do you think
The week of this event was set back, I think, around the time of the iPhone launch. They've been doing this for about a month out, and I'm sure they have a general awareness of other companies, but I don't think they have a general care of when other companies are doing their events.
Couldn't care the least.
Yeah.
Couldn't care the least. And for the idea that Apple would be trying to torpedo the Windows RT launch gives the Windows 8 RT a lot more credit than Apple's given it. We do know some numbers for Windows RT. Interesting. Priced almost identically to the iPad.
Yep. Starting price.
So the CNN was saying that that they thought that the reason Apple was paying attention is that they were worried that RT might cannibalize the iPad. Alex, does that seem credible at all?
I definitely think that Apple has to pay attention to that. I mean, I think when you look at the change in the use of tablets and how popular, I think that Apple has paid attention to it. I think the iPad mini, whenever it comes out, is a reaction to that.
It is. Okay.
I definitely think, but Apple did the same thing with the iPod. They had a very, very expensive product. Other people started to fill in below them, and then they took away most of that air. You know, it made it very difficult to move into that market. And so I think that's probably what they're attempting to do here. I have to admit I use a Nexus 7 as well as my iPad, and I have to admit that I like the form factor of the Nexus 7 better. Like I want to carry it around more. I'm very much looking for. I'd rather have an iPad as far as the operating system. I just want the smaller form factor. It's more portable for me. So I'm very, regardless of the price, I'm just excited about having a smaller iPad. You know, something a little bit bigger than my iPhone and something slightly smaller than what I have now.
El Khalif in our chat room said something, but I forgot what it was. Wait a minute.
It moves so fast.
I remembered his name. That was impressive. What did he say, though? It was good. oh, crap. I'm sorry, El Khalif. The 7-inch tablet proves Apple cares a lot about what others do. Because remember, Steve Jobs spent 10 minutes on that earning call 2 years ago dissing, saying nobody wants a 7-inch tablet.
But the question there is that he spent a lot of time dissing things that they were working on before. I mean, you wonder whether that's something that he didn't believe in or whether it's something that
you
he
never
wanted
know,
to
do
try
you?
To push everybody away, like yeah. use his influence to get everybody looking the other direction and not going that direction so that Apple can go that direction.
If you look at the wording he used, too, he didn't really say, like, he said 7-inch tablets are DOA because they run smartphone software blown up. And Apple was really deliberate in going for a 7.85-inch tablet that runs iPad software. And everything about that conversation Steve Jobs had with analysts was about the different class of software that the iPad let you run. It's two columns instead of one column, and it's more sophisticated apps. And I think it's true what he said, because a lot of 7-inch tablets haven't been more than big iPod touches. And at least from what I've heard, this is going to be something very different in the mini tablet space.
But really, is iPad software any different than iPhone software? How is it different?
It's
using up more of the real estate. I mean, the iPad software is definitely iPad-only apps that are using, you know...
It's screen aware, but it's the same OS, isn't it?
It is, but the presentation layer is different, and the amount of control and the amount of information they show, and the quality of the apps. If you put an iPad version and an iPhone version of a really good optimized app next to each other, the iPad version is way more functional. It's not really a computer. I can't call it a computer. It's still the car, not the truck. Mm-hmm. But it's more of a. If you look at the iPad Mini, it's really designed to remove two barriers of entry. One is cost for anyone who the iPad was too expensive for, but the other one is just size for anyone that the iPad was too big or too heavy for. And the original iPad is really designed for people who want to get stuff done but don't need a computer, where the iPad Mini is going to be exactly what Alex said, that easier to carry around, to read in bed, sort of a less formal, more educational kind of device.
Yeah, and what Google has done with Android is, instead of doing that kind of distinction, is made Android more kind of universally compatible or more less screen aware. Although there are tablet apps and there are non-tablet apps also on Android. I love Android Central's headline: Apple to invent smaller tablets, October 23rd.
That's Phil Nickenson at work.
I love you, Phil. What's interesting, though, he says it'll probably be really, really good. Frankly, it'll probably be better built than the Nexus 7. That's true. And he says that's a good thing. Google has a gem in the Nexus 7, but it's not perfect. For $200, our favorite Android tablet. And having Apple in that game will up everybody's game. Apple, there's no way Apple can charge $200 for an iPad Mini.
Or there's a way.
You can?
They could if they decide that I believe Apple initially was going to target something close to $200, but the perception was maybe that the Fire or the Nexus 7 would do better in the market than they have. But because Amazon limits their distribution to countries where they have Amazon stores, which is a very small
amount.
Yeah,
they subsidize that, yeah.
Yeah, and the Nexus 7 is, they still haven't figured out how to sell those things at a mass scale yet, so there's not as much pressure on Apple to do a low price point. But if they wanted to, they could do 200, they can do 250 fairly easily for an 8-gigabyte bare bones, you know, iPad 2 kind of spec device.
There are rumors that Apple's making millions of these. What was it, 5 to 8 million?
Yeah, they intend to make this a 100 million selling device.
Some even said this will be a better iPad than the big iPad.
Well, I think that, I think they're going to make a lot of money this fall selling probably 5 to 10 million of them. I think there's going to be a huge push. And I know that I sound like a broken record. I've said this almost every time we talk about it, but I think the market to watch in the spring is Apple pushing into the educational market, whether that's workforce development, education, or with iBooks or the K-12. I think that this is
their educational device.
This is the device. This is the one that goes up against OLPC, all the inexpensive laptops. You know, this is the device that solves that problem.
You might be right. You've been saying that ever since the iBook author came out. And the next web, Matthew Panzerino writing in the Next Web, says Apple's hypothetical iPad Mini event to have strong iBooks focus. We've heard from multiple sources that it will be aimed at those who wish to partake media on their tablets, but also to schools and education. iBooks 3 will be announced, perhaps, he says.
I think one of the arguments, I can imagine, you know, Apple sales folks talking to schools saying this is a very inexpensive product. There's already a huge market, and it's also very controllable. It's an ecosystem that a school can deliver and have a lot of control over what's being put on it, how it's being used. And for many school IT professionals, that's something that they probably want to hear. And it's probably going to give them an advantage over an Android solution in that area.
Apple up $12 today, by the way. Still under $700, though.
It's a buy, Leo.
Darn it, they're not worth $1 trillion yet.
I wish I'd bought it yesterday. No, I don't. I'm not allowed to own Apple stock. My own scruples prevent that. We're going to take a break. Let's talk about 9 to 5 Mac says there will be 24 iPad models. Let's find out about it. More about what we can expect with an iPad mini. And you said, Renee, something that I haven't seen anywhere else. You said there would be new iMacs, too. It makes sense, but I've seen only MacBooks and minis. So let's see what iMore knows when we continue. Renee Ritchie from iMore.com is here from Montreal, from Washington, D.C. Alex Lindsay of the Pixel Corps. Andy Inako has the day off. He is traveling. We're talking Macs.
Yeah.
Finally, on Mac Break Weekly. Brought to you today by GoToMeeting, which is a great product for your iPad. GoToMeeting, especially with HD faces now, it is a powerful way to meet with clients and colleagues when they are not in the office. And this is more and more the case. People are doing business all over the world now. You can't necessarily get to where your clients are. Those team meetings are harder and harder to have. GoToMeeting is a great solution. You got to have meetings. I thought we could get rid of them, but I realized, no, you got to have meetings. It's an essential for an efficient workplace, an opportunity not just to kind of lay down the law and say, here's what we're doing, but also for different voices to be heard, to share ideas, to problem solve, develop creative solutions. Meetings are really sometimes where the work gets done. But with your team spread out, perhaps you're thinking, I don't know how we're going to do a meeting. Go to meeting. And now, so GoToMeeting has always had this great screen sharing, the fastest, most secure, easiest to use. But now with HD faces, you also see the people in the meeting. I'm trying to remember, we've had, I think, as many as 8 people in a GoToMeeting with HD faces, 8 cameras. If you have a Mac or a PC, it can use that camera. It can even use the camera on the iPad. Of course, the headphones too. So you're wireless. You can walk, you could go out in your garden or be at an airport. And if you've got a decent connection, man, which LTE, by the way, is plenty. You can attend a meeting. You can be seen and see others. Build rapport. Build trust. Get to know each other. So important with coworkers, even more important with clients. Nobody's going to buy from you unless they know you. And having that visual. In fact, clients love this. It saves them time. They don't have to travel to meet you. You don't have to, you know, they don't have to give you a cup of coffee when you come to visit them. You just have the meeting. You get it done. You get the sales done. Show them that presentation. They're seeing it on the screen. They're seeing you. They're building trust. I want you to try it free for 30 days. By the way, it's very affordable. If you've looked at these teleconferencing solutions people are using with tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, you've already got all the essentials. You've got the great internet. You've got a camera on your laptop or your iPad. You've got everything you need. All you need is GoToMeeting. $49 a month. Flat rate for as many meetings as you want, as long as you want. And free for the first month. So I want you to try it right now. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use MacBreak as the offer code or the promo code. So you have to click that link there to open that box up. MacBreak. And you have 30 days free of GoToMeeting. Tell your boss, your clients, your colleagues. Just try it. Just use it. And I think you'll notice increased sales, increased rapport, more creativity. You're all on the same page because you're literally looking at the same page. GoToMeeting.com. Offer code is MacBreak. We thank them for their support. The Mac Break Weekly. This is Jordan Kahn writing in 9 to 5 Mac. Apple to launch 24. This is from an Australian retailer. 24 new SKUs of the iPad mini. Good, better, best. Good, better, best. Good, better, best. There are 4 variants. This is a rumor. P101, P103, P105, and P107. So it looks like Apple is going to launch 4 different models of the mini. In colors, in 3 memory capacities, lightning connector. Renee, is this all credible?
It's a 9-to-5 Mac has very, very good retail connections for Apple products, and they're usually spot on with this stuff. But it's hard to kind of, it's almost like anthropomancy. You look at all these SKUs and you try to figure out what they are. I think some of these might be, we've heard for a while that the iPad 3 might get a very small update to include Lightning. And I think recently people have been saying LTE for outside the US, just like the iPhone 5 has. I don't think that'll be a big deal, Apple, because Apple wouldn't want to anger people who've just bought them. So they'll just say, oh, here's the iPad 3 with Lightning, and you can use it in the UK and Australia and wherever. But if you multiply three or four different capacities by, you know, two colors, by the Wi-Fi and the Wi-Fi plus cellular, then you start getting into every, I mean, those are, that's what you get every time with new Apple products.
And what color is misleading? Black and white.
Yeah.
Not red, not purple.
The iPod Touch got colors and moved down to the consumer sort of space, and that kind of opens up the pro space, which is the white and black space for the iPad mini, iPad.
I would buy a red iPad, though. I really would. Wouldn't that be cool?
Product red.
Yeah. Do that. Here also from Apple Insider, SKUs for the iPad. For the mini. Wait a minute. What is...
I think it's a similar source.
The same SKUs. So this, so two sources, same thing. I think this is pretty good. 24 SKUs is kind of amazing, but that means black, white, so forth. Three memories.
AT&T.
Yeah, that's right. So that's really not so amazing. One person familiar with the company and product inventory said the company's initial shipments suggest availability of the presumed entry level. I would guess Wi-Fi P101 will be the biggest at launch. Inventory list from a retailer last weekend suggested, and this sounds credible, an entry-level Wi-Fi only 8 gigabyte model, $250. Does that sound credible?
Yeah, we said that back in March. I believe.
Oh,
it was
well,
March,
then that's
March
true. If said it. That's pretty competitive. Now that's $50 more than the Nexus 7. And the and the Amazon Kindle.
Well, but I think if I remember correctly, the Nexus 7, the big
8 gigs was 200, right?
Yeah, but I think most people were buying them at 16. I think they had really had a lot of supply issues at $250. It didn't seem like people really. $199 was a great press event,
right? But people are willing to pay $250 for more memory.
Yeah, so I think that 250, I mean, 250, I think, puts an incredible amount of pressure on the tablet market.
Yeah.
I mean, just a painful amount of pressure. I think that $199 is, you know, again, just wipes the market out. I don't think Apple's going to go down that far. I think it'll probably be $249 or $299.
So are we saying four memory levels, 8, 16, 32, and 64?
I think three is more likely. I think the same as the iPod Touch, 832 and 64. They probably want to do 8 just to get the low price. And I think Alex has been saying this for years, but if you look at Apple's advantage, it really is iTunes, because they can take credit cards and sell content in more places than anybody else. They have the iPad in 90 countries plus already. And if you look at that compared to where you can get a Nexus 7, the Nexus 7 is okay in Canada. It's really bad in a lot of countries. The Kindle Fire is a paperweight
useless
in Canada.
Yeah.
That seeds your market. If you have to rely on selling content to get your product in there, your product always lags behind your content. Where Apple can sell an iPad anywhere because they're selling it at margin, and then when the content's available, people just start buying it.
And remember that all the press ever says is, and all the ads ever say is, starting at $249, and that's what that's the number that you want. And I think that's a good number. That's a hell of a number. Gets me interested. I'd probably buy one or two. Now, here's the other thing. I don't think you need as much memory as you used to, because you're streaming everything, right?
I think that the only issue is we're working on a lot of iBooks right now. And the one issue you get into is books. You know, so
books are big. People forget books are 5 gigs, 6 gigs. They're huge.
Well, some of these iBooks can be very, very, can get large. You only need a couple of them to fill up an 8 gig.
Right.
So it's something that, I mean, we're back to, in a lot of ways, content size management again, which is what we had to deal with CD-ROMs and the web and everything else, of just really how hard can we push a lot of these videos to get them to fit that much into a given product.
They are re-downloadable, though. So if you delete a book, you can re-download it from iBooks and then put another book on. So it's easier than it was previously. And I believe in that product list, there was a SKU for Apple's, you know, buy 20 at a time education bundle. So I think they're really aiming this.
They really are.
If memory serves,
how interesting. Now, you said IMAX, and I have been getting calls on the radio show every weekend now, people saying, should I buy an iMac? And my answer was, well, wait till this event, because this is the last chance Apple has to announce anything this year. You think they'll announce an iMac?
I've heard that there's an iMac. I'm not the only one. There have been several people who've heard that there was an iMac. A Chinese site recently published that it will be a redesigned iMac that'll use the same lamination technology in the panel that they use on the Retina MacBooks to make it really like almost Tony Stark thin. I don't know if they'll do that this year, though. It might. At worst, it'll probably be the spec bump where they put the latest chipset in there and the latest internals and the latest connectors. They have USB 3 on.
They've got to do that. They've got to get the Ivy Bridge in there, USB 3.
I think Apple's done with larger hardware. I think that what we're going to see is performance increases. I don't expect form factors to change for the iMac or the Mac Mini. I'll probably live to regret saying
doesn't
that.
Doesn't the iMac sell really well in the home? I mean, isn't this a great home computer? Don't people really buy a lot of? I don't know. I mean, I haven't looked at the numbers.
A laptop with a you know connected to a monitor.
Before you came here, that's what we were. I was just saying I'm about to get a Thunderbolt display.
And we have a lot of I don't know how many Mac Minis we have. We have a lot of them. We use them as kind of utility tools. A lot of times we want to put monitors in places. We'll have arrays of 20 or 30 monitors at a location that show
senior setups.
So, like NASA. Yeah.
You don't? Do you use Minis for those?
Yeah, we use Mac Minis for those.
Okay, that's what you were saying, Renee. The Colo. I don't know if there's only one that I know of, but maybe there's others hosting companies that just. You just have minis. It's a mini Mac Mini based hosting company.
Yeah, and they're really. I mean, now that the performance for a lot of these chips have gotten so fast, I mean, I don't need a Mac Mini to change in the size. I don't want it to get any bigger. I just want it to be, you know, just put the newest chips in, make it a little bit faster, and I'll buy them. You know, because for render farms, especially,
great for that.
You know, it's just a really great solution.
And you'll be able to connect external drives because the SSD won't be very big, but you'll be able to connect external drives to give it. Massive capacity, right?
Well, yeah, that you have Thunderbolt. Connectors. Yeah. I think we can assume if one comes out, we'll probably see two, like we see with the Retina. And the Retina, you know, which is really our workhorse at this point. You know, the two Thunderbolts.
You've got a lot of Retinas.
Yeah, we have a lot of Retinas. I think we have. I don't want to talk about it.
The 13 must make you happy.
Sorry?
The 13-inch must make you happy.
If it comes out, yeah. I mean, we don't care about I don't care about the screen resolution. In fact, you know, I just care about the connections. And having two Thunderbolts and an HDMI out is just yeah. That's to us that the CPUs. I mean, our Retinas most of the time are outperforming our towers. You know, which were best in class when we bought them. You know, I mean, you know 16 cores.
No, my Mac Pro is underpowered compared to my laptop.
Yeah, yeah, and so
I'm giving it to my son.
The important question is how do we I got a 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro and I now have to justify getting the 13-inch because
I want it's your job. This is just use my excuse. hey, I got him. You've heard of that site, iMore.com? That's me. That's all.
Done.
You just have to think of some project or some group of projects.
Alex is great because Alex just buys everything. I have never seen, it's so funny because I don't know people know, we share studio space. Alex has a portion of the brick house. And there's boxes every day. I'm so disappointed. I come in and I see FedEx and UPS boxes mile high, and my heart goes pit-a-pat. I'm thinking, oh, good. And it's all Pixel Core.
We have a lot of needs. We're growing.
We have needs.
They're busy.
Come on, tell us. How many Retinas? Do you know?
Half of them.
Think we have 18 right now.
Wow.
And they're not – and they're like totally the ones that are like totally – you know, maxed out.
And you don't open them, probably. You just got them plugged into
things. No. We use them. We use them all the time. In fact, I don't know where they all are at this point. They're all spread all over the world. We have operators with using them all over the world. So they are literally the core of our production pipe.
Dang.
So, you know, they, you know, you can't, I mean, it's just there's never been as functional a computer for me.
What if they make an iMac that has... Exactly. It's not Retina, but it has a 27 because you have to buy a display for your. Oh, well, I guess you don't use the Retina display.
We use them when we need to. I mean, we output because you have an HDMI out. It's just so easy to plug it into anything that you need to connect it to. I have absolutely no interest in iMacs at this point. I mean, you know, we have a lot of those too, but no more. But I really, you know, we like the Mac Minis because we can customize our display systems. and really, you know, decide where we're going to put those monitors. Having the monitor attached to the computer is not necessarily, at this point, advantageous to us. It just limits what we can do with it.
Do you really think that Apple will kill? I mean, what if Apple made an almost bezel-less, super thin iMac with, I mean, wouldn't that be a big seller?
If they made it 46 inches, I would just call it a TV, and then I'd be happy with it. I mean, I think that's making a really big iMac and calling it a TV would be useful to me. But you know, I have an iMac connected to I have a TV at my home office. I have like a conference area where we can teleconference with folks and a big TV, and I have an Apple TV and a Mac Mini kind of run, you know, beating into two of the HDMI inputs, and you know, it's just. To me, that's the way to go. You know what I mean? And I have the Mac operating system on this big TV, and I'm able to do whatever I need to do and, you know, download stuff and access stuff and do the conferencing that we want to do. And I think that, so Apple, if they really want to get into TVs, I think thinking about iMacs as TVs, I think is great. I think that 27-inch form factor, I don't think that's the solution for the future of schools. I think a lot of them right. are going to be tablet-based.
No, I'm thinking purely as a home computer.
I still think a Mac Mini is better. I mean, here's the deal. Your iMac goes bad, your screen goes bad, and now you're going to deal with it. It would cost you, like, we buy the cheapest monitor. I mean, we have a couple, like, color-correct monitors that are thousands
right.
of dollars.
But the rest of them you don't care.
But the rest of them, you know, what we do is we get a, we buy really cheap Samsung or Asus monitors that are $250, $200. We then use the Spider little color corrector. And you pop that thing on, you plug it into your computer, it gets very close to a good accurate picture, or accurate enough for what we do, and it's fine. Like it just totally works. And they're cheap, and when they go bad and we ship them, and I mean, you know, they're just the monitor end of it is, I wouldn't say disposable, but you know, the core of your computer is all continues to work, and you continue to do whatever you can do with the monitors. And I don't like the idea that I have to take really good care of my iMac screen, you know, that type of thing.
And I just got sent the link. Clayton Morris from Fox News had the new iMac rumor up on September 7th, but it doesn't look like Retina for the reasons we discussed earlier.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't expect Retina.
Too big a panel.
It's just an update to yeah. That would be the easiest thing. Make it Ivy Bridge and just leave it at that. And, of course, Tim Cook pushed the Mac Pro story down the road, said next year. And I'm sure conveniently next year they'll forget it and push it down the road some more. I think you're right, Alex. I don't think they want to make big ones anymore. But Steve never said we're going to make a TV. He said we've licked it. But he never said we're going to make a TV, did he?
No.
The original TV rumor ended up being the 27-inch iMac. And we heard that when the original rumor started. And because they were buying large panels, and people thought TV, but the large panel was for an iMac. And, you know, maybe there'll be a 32-inch iMac one day. And I think Alex is right. That's a much more attractive solution. But the television is an interesting market. And
I don't think they want to be in that market.
It's not an Apple-type disruption market at this point.
Yeah. Why do TV? Just do a media device, maybe. Or the Mac Mini.
AirPlay goes right around a lot of TV problems.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Apple TV. I mean, I think that Apple could add some. So I know that. I still hate having to deal with the process of a TV, even just to get to my Apple TV. And so, you know, that whole controller mix model, VOD, all of those things are, you know, just annoying. And I think it is a weak market. I think it's like a phone where everyone was adding all these features and no one was actually using them. I do think that the TV is a very, very weak market and could be disrupted fairly quickly by people who are willing to pay a little bit more for a larger or sharper screen or something totally integrated where they don't have to plug it in.
With Apple,
I don't know exactly when they'll do that. But I think they have to get this. I think they get the Apple TV 3 or 4 or whatever totally piped in and totally working as a TV replacement before we see any kind of actual TV. They have no reason to do it right now. We're all using our Apple TVs. I think most people I know at this point have. You know, and we're in Northern California, so it doesn't really count. But a lot of people that I know have Apple TVs. You just kind of think about that as another small device that gets you some of the content. You know, and I probably use Netflix on my Apple TV more than anything else on that it provides.
Yep. Isn't
that funny? Thai English from Kicking Bear had a really good, it was a really interesting concept about the TV, because no one wants to line up at an Apple store and buy a new TV every year. So he thought they might just separate out the two products. So you'd keep getting better Apple TVs and you'd have the option to buy an Apple panel when and if you ever wanted to replace the actual panel in your living room. But then instead of having to buy the next one next year, you just get the updated box that sits next to it. With all the guts and the software on it.
I just think that the only thing about it is that the iOS is so small and so easy to package. If you're going to build a panel, you might as well build it into it. You know, it doesn't seem like you get a whole lot out of not, building the whole panel into it, or building a little hole in the back, or a little thing where you can just attach your Apple TV. That might be the way to do it. But to, you know, have it, it just seems like it's so easy once you have that much real estate to make it work. It seems like that would be the easiest thing to do, but maybe not.
Here, I forgot, and we started talking about it, but I didn't give you the final information on the price on a Windows RT tablet. Finally, you can replace your iPad with something that's powerful and modern. Windows RT, strikingly priced at $499 for the Wi-Fi version.
Without keyboard.
Oh, yeah, that's $129 more if you want the Surface type cover, and that only comes apparently in black. I guess I have to pre-order this, so I'm going to spend $530 basically on the 32 gig Windows RT pre-order for now for delivery on 10/26. That's the price, and it goes up from there. 64 gigs if you want to max it out, 64 gigs with the Surface type cover. Don't confuse the touch cover with the type cover. Touch cover is like Apple Smart cover. If you want the keyboard, you got to get the type cover.
Well, they have two. They have the keyboard that's actually like flat on the cover, so it's not real. It's right. A virtual kind of keyboard. And then right. You have an actual clickety-clackety keyboard for more.
There's a clickety-clackety keyboard?
I think it's slightly clickety-clackety.
So the touch cover, I'm confused.
It's like a Logitech. You know, it's like the
Logitech. Oh, yeah, the touch cover has a keyboard, but it's just a little chiclet thing.
Yeah. Well, it's virtual, I think, on the touch
cover. It's not even real. It's just it's just got keys on there. Okay. And then if you want the type cover, then it's a little more clickety-clackety. I don't think clickety-clackety is probably the word.
Tickety-tockety. Not sure.
The touch cover you could type on. Okay, got it. But if you want to type...
That's the thing that's so complicated.
I'm in the business and I'm confused. I know people are going to buy something they didn't want. I really do. All right. And you can only get... the base price is... This is really kind of stupid. You get a black touch cover for the base price, but if you want any other color, you'll pay $120 more. So if you want red, this is like Apple pricing. You want red, you have to pay $120 more.
Although Apple wouldn't give you the free one.
That's true. They pay, but it's $30 for the smart cover.
Yeah.
But you can't type.
Yeah. Yet.
Yet. No. You know something I don't?
No, I don't even know if Apple would do this. Apple
doesn't want you to do that. No.
I mean, Apple is very smart. They never mistake their products for their business, where I get this feeling that Microsoft really thinks that Windows is everything and has to tie everything into there. Often that creates the confusion and convolution that we then have to try to explain to people.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, come back with more. We got Renee Ritchie here from iMore.com. Also, Alex Lindsay. From Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Is there a debate coming up?
There is a debate.
Tonight?
It's not here in D.C. I think it's in Kentucky, I think, or in...
Okay, so you're not there for that.
I'm not.
But you are wearing a jacket. You look very sharp.
I am. Why, thank you. I'm in D.C., so this is kind of the, I just felt like walking around the street, I felt like I should be really wearing a suit.
I know there are people watching right now are thinking, okay, I really think I might want to buy, but I'm not sure the new iPad. I want to see the details. They're trying to decide what to do about it. Maybe the way to get the new iPad would be to sell your old iPad, or maybe you've got an old 3GS lying around. This is the way to do it, gazelle.com. And this actually takes all the pain out of it, because you can get a quote now that's good for 30 days and decide next week what you want to do. You don't have to mail it right away. I don't think that's wrong. I think that's just taking advantage of their business model. 30-day free quote right now, non-binding. If you go to gazelle.com, you got the you know what? I think there are a lot of people sitting there with a second generation Wi-Fi iPad, and they bought it a while ago, and they're saying, I want the new one. $280. How about that for the Wi-Fi version of the iPad 2? Now you've actually paid for your new iPad. Throw it in a box. They pay shipping. You don't have to pay extra for shipping. Anything worth more than a buck, they'll ship it free. Might as well throw more stuff in the box. They send you a mailing label. And then when you're ready, when you want to pull the trigger, when you've looked at the new iPad, you say, yep, you know what? I do want to get that. Then you can take advantage of it. So get that 30-day quote right now, because I got to tell you, the prices are not going up on any of this stuff. It's going down, down, down. But while it's still a rumor, you're going to get the maximum price. iPads, iPhones. If you've got a BlackBerry, they'll take it. If you've got a Samsung Galaxy S3 or S2, a Nokia, a Motorola, an LG, an HTC phone, they'll pay you for it. Even old iPods. I just ordered the new iPod Nano. You know, I was thinking, though, it'd be good to have an old Touch if I could then use my Sonos dock and just, like, make that part of the Sonos system. But that's, so by the way, that's what happens to this. Gazelle resells this stuff on their special eBay store. So, you know, might check that out if you want to do what I was thinking. Just keep that 30-pin connector, use an old iPod Touch, right? G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Now's the time to get that 30-day quote, lock it in, and by the way, you could even wait. You know, you could get the new quote, order the new iPhone or the new iPad, wait till it comes, transfer it over, then send it in. That's the way to do it. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, the place to get money, get cash for your old gadgets. Don't let that messy drawer build up stuff. Sell your used iPhone today at gazelle.com. And get that new iPhone 5 or the new iPad, we think.
You reminded me of something, Leo.
What's that?
If I'm not wrong, I believe the iPad mini, if they do the cellular option for $130 extra, will be the only prominent 7-inch tablet with Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi and cellular. And I know I have a Nexus 7 too, and I really miss not having LTE on it because it's so portable. I take it everywhere, and then I'm not on Wi-Fi. I can't use it, and I get sad.
Good selling point. I stopped buying the 3G because I use it so minimally, and then I always have a hotspot on my phone. So I just figure, well, I'll just pay for it once. The iPhone 5's got LTE on it, and I'll just use that.
I use the hotspot on my iPad instead because it's so big. It's such a big battery, and then my phone's not drained.
Battery life. You're smart. Yeah. Same thing.
I use the 3G. So I travel a lot. So I use the 3G so much. You know, just needing to be somewhere trying to find directions in a car or... I don't want to try to figure out how to connect it, and so I tend to get some kind of connection, 3G, 4G, you know, LTE, that type of thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Just looking down, I want to make sure I get all the rumors. Don't want to miss a single rumor. Has anybody got the new Nano? I ordered it. I thought it would come by now. I see The Verge has their first review of it. Renee, do you have your Nano yet?
Yes. I'm in the middle of reviewing them.
Oh, look. Look.
Multi.
Purdy, I bought a red one too, product red. What do you think?
They're totally re-nanoed, according to the copywriters at Apple.com.
Totally re-nanoed, whatever that means.
They must have a great time. No, I mean, it's really nice. It looks, they made it look a little more different than iOS because it doesn't run iOS. It runs the same operating system.
So round icons that way, you know, the difference.
Yeah. But it's really nice. It's got a built-in pedometer now. It still does videos. There's no iCloud. So I've gotten so used to just setting up iCloud and having all my stuff there. The idea of syncing with iTunes feels so...
You mean there's no match? I guess not. They'd have to put a radio on it. Yeah.
Well, it's got Bluetooth. It's got Bluetooth 4.0. And I don't know if you noticed, but on the iPhone... On iOS 6, under privacy, there's this setting that has nothing in it yet called Bluetooth sharing. And it said there'll be a list of things that that can share application data over Bluetooth. So I'm hoping that there'll be a way to beam stuff or just connect stuff eventually there. Mm. But they're really nice. They're super thin. They look like tiny Nokia 920s. Very interesting devices.
Interesting. It seemed like such a retro move, but
I think they're for retro people though, Leo. They're still
who buys
the
iPods?
Legacy of iPods, yeah.
And kids.
Athletes.
They're not that expensive. Yeah.
Do you think that the wearable one is still to come next year? Was that Peter Rojas, I think it was, who said that on Gadget? That don't assume Apple's leaving this wearable market behind. They're replacing the old sort of wearable Nano with this thing that's clearly not wearable so that they can release a wearable iPod next year or a wearable iPhone. Why not?
Apple is not often at the forefront of, like, they tend to let other companies do the crazy trial and error period of technology, and then they come in.
You're
with,
right.
Their secret is taking
that crazy NFC. That's never going anywhere.
Yes.
That crazy NFC stuff. Why bother?
Yeah, but I mean, the original iPhone had no 3G, had no GPS, it had no apps. It had almost nothing that a Trio 680 had. Yet it had a compelling user experience, and they took their time and added features.
Right.
It's like with Ford, Leo. You know, you go to CES every year, and Ford says, "Yeah, we have cars that can do crazy things, but people would be scared, so we have to introduce one feature at a time, very slowly."
They actually do, and Apple does not have this luxury. One of the things they do is they say, "Well, we figure you're going to have a new phone every few years. Let that thing be updated. As long as we can talk to that, we give you an API for it. People who can develop apps and put them on the phone so they can talk to the car. We'll let that be the agent of change."
And Apple does that. I mean, their design is just getting more and more refined. There's no radically new iPhones. They're just going closer to that original iPhone prototype from 2005. And Apple keeps saying that software is the key. And iOS 6 is nothing but a big gamble on software being differentiated. Right.
I do have to say, and just a word of warning, as beautiful as the iPhone 5 is, and it really is like a fine watch, it's delicate as hell. I, at first, poo-pooed the scratch and nick crew, but I have literally
been destroying yours.
And I haven't dropped it or anything. I have nicks all the way around the bezel now.
Do you put it in your pocket with keys?
No, I keep it in my breast pocket. I don't drop it. It's too bad because you really don't want to put these in cases because they're beautiful. But it looks like somebody's been gnawing on it, and it's only been 2 weeks.
And I have to admit, my iPhone 4 as I put in my pocket with keys and change and everything else. And it doesn't look like it's lost much at all.
Yeah. Maybe I'm hard on it, but I didn't nick. I have no nicks, dings, or scratches on any of the old iPhones.
But it's anodized aluminum. It's a thin sheen of black over aluminum, and it's gonna chip. I mean, that's just physics.
It's mostly the bezel. You know, the back's fine. Yeah. It's this little thin. In fact, it's all the bezel. It that must be particularly soft. I don't know what it's made of, but it's got
my
gouges.
First one came chipped, and I took it back to the Apple store, and they exchanged it for me. No questions asked.
You're the reason everybody's going crazy at Foxconn. I don't know if this is accurate or not, because Foxconn's denying there have been any work stoppages, but there are reports of work stoppages by workers who say, "You're asking too much of us. We cannot make these perfect. That's too hard
at that speed."
And it's unclear what's happening there, but it does appear that if there is a work stoppage, it is, I think we talked about it a little bit last week, it is an issue that's related to conflicts between the QA folks and the folks that are making it, that, you know, at this point, the level of detail required for these phones is just insane. And, of course, people are working very, very long hours, and having them sent back, I'm sure that there's a lot connected to their pay and their comfort and the amount of trouble they get into related to how many of their phones come back to them because they weren't completed correctly. And I'm sure, and that seems to be.
There were lots of reports of like yours, Renee, of dinged iPhone 5s. Apple, of course, replaces them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, somebody in the chat room says, "I sound like a grumpy old man." So what am I supposed to say? "I love it. It's so beautiful. It's perfect in every way. This is a wonderful phone, and you should all buy 5 to match the number of the phone."
My problem is I put them down on a dark table, and then I can't find them for minutes and minutes.
It does disappear. only buy an iPhone made on a Wednesday, says Strike It Rich, like cars, because workers are hungover on Monday. They're just barely coming back on Tuesday. Thursday and Friday, they leave early. So Wednesday's the day to buy an iPhone 5.
But how do you know when they were made? How would you know that? You go through the boxes, but they don't let you. It's not like they let you just wander through and start going through the iPhone.
There's no Da Vinci code on the back of the box.
Excuse me, I'd like to make sure that my iPhone was bought on Tuesday. May I peruse your boxes?
How do you like this? The Apple stock is rebounding, but according to Business Insider, the $12 billion dip, which is a new dance move. The $12 billion dip in Apple stock seems to have started with anonymous tweets from a single source in China. And it's that strike that we don't know about. Bloomberg's Adam Mintner It actually comes from Bloomberg, not Business Insider. So let's give credit to Adam as the original source of this. First of all, he says no one really knows if this strike happened, but the tweet about it, some say, is the reason for Apple stock. I don't think it's the only reason Apple stock went down. I think there's the sell on the news. I think that there perhaps is concern that despite the fact this is selling better than any iPhone in prior history, Apple can't make enough of them. There's supply chain issues, things like that.
It's drama, Leo. It happens all the time. Before an event, after an event, yeah. It goes up and down in waves.
Exactly.
Apple doesn't meet the numbers expected by analysts who don't understand how the business works, and then it's an apocalypse.
Yep.
Well, and I think that I think the real problem is that Apple is so close to the ground. I mean, their cash flow and cash supply of liquid assets is so
that's what they
tight.
Want.
I
yeah,
think that they have to make sure that the stock market's happy, because if there was a run, they'd of course run out of money because they don't have any in the bank.
Wait a minute, they have $100 billion. Wait a minute.
I don't know. I'm going to guess that they're going to. I'm sorry, I'm being a little sarcastic, but I think we're going to see that they're now at $125 billion in the bank. $100 billion of it probably somewhere overseas, and I think that they don't really need to pay attention to anyone at this point. I think that they do need to pay attention a lot to, again, to the building competition around the tablets, but. I think that's the one place that they have to deal with. But what the stock market thinks. I mean, these people, they sell on Pixar right before a movie is released because it hasn't made a lot of money in the last quarter.
Right.
because they were making the movie that was going to make $250 million.
It's the people assume that the stock market is somehow magically accurate. And there is that, the wisdom of the crowds notion. And I think over long terms it might be, but not over short term. It's way too viable. So now, have you thrown out your packaging materials, Renee?
I have carefully recycled. Well, I keep any box for an Apple product for far longer than I sometimes keep the product.
I know.
In case.
But look what Mashable did. They took the holder for the earbuds and they put them in water. And apparently they just biodegrade.
It'd be great for a school project.
First they get mushy.
This isn't like cardboard gets wet. This is like...
If they turned into sea monkeys, it would be very impressive.
That would be awesome.
It's pliable and then falls apart after a few minutes. The result is pulp. But the ear pod case. Then what you do? I don't know. Somehow it's magic.
It's interesting because the iPods don't come with the same quality headset that comes with the iPhone. The iPhone gets the plastic box and the mic and remote, and the iPods come in that little paper cardboardy thing with no remote or mic. So you can only do that with the iPod packaging.
So according to Apple and the environment, Apple's using new tapioca paper cases in its packaging.
I wonder if it tastes like tapioca.
Do not eat it.
You know that would be awesome. Wait. That would be great to have packaging that you could put into water, dissolve it, and then eat it. Now that would be biodegradable. It'd be
bubble tea.
Edible.
Millions of iPhone packages are made from renewable tapioca paper foam material. So there, in case you were wondering, do not eat it.
I would like steak flavor myself. I mean, it could be tapioca base, but I want it to taste like tri-tip.
I think you should sous vide that tapioca, see what happens.
Yeah, but just think of how few people if you figured this all out, just think of how few people would throw stuff away. I mean, they'd be like, that's a meal. That's like a TV meal.
It's the time for Halloween. It's perfect.
Here, kid, have some tapioca paper. This is relevant because Apple apparently, now, although there's some dispute over this, is now EPEAT again, the EPEAT certification. Remember, Apple withdrew from EPEAT briefly. There was a hue and a cry, and Apple said, no, we're sorry, we take it back. We are now back in the EPEAT fold. EPEAT is a certification that Apple was part of designing, the idea is they're greener electronics. Apple apparently did pass the EPEAT test with their thin laptops.
It sounds like EPEAT blinked. The standard seems to have gone down. And I don't know if I'm being facetious or not, but I read somewhere that went down to basically if you have a USB port or something that will certify you.
Well, because EPEAT is not, it's the industry.
Yes.
Not any third party, independent third party.
It's not Greenpeace.
It's to make you feel better. Oh, no, we make it out of tapioca. It's okay.
But it's important for Apple because a lot of governments and other institutions will not buy unless you are EPEAT certified. So it's important they have the stamp, regardless of whether that stamp actually means
right.
anything or not.
Let's see. EPEAT Development Team Advisory Council Board of Directors. Let's see who's on the EPEAT board. An attorney, somebody with a MBA, Polymers Incorporated, Walt Disney, Hasbro, Call to Recycle. I don't know who they are. That's the board of directors. Let's see who the advisory council is for EPEAT. USGSA, Best Buy, German company, scientist and director of the Center for Energy Efficiency of the NRDC. That's good. Hewlett Packard, Hugo New Corporation. Yeah. There's some people in here, you know, that have some interest in sustainability. Dell, Staples. Mostly, though, it seems like it's an industry council. So, blinked is maybe not the right word. don't worry about it. You're going to get certified. It's not a problem. Stay in the EP, please.
And you hear the beers clink together and everyone yeah. goes about their business.
Foxconn does admit that it breached Chinese labor laws by hiring 14-year-old interns. We hire 14-year-old interns, so I think it's time for me to admit that we are in breach of the Chinese labor laws here at the Twit Brick House. Right? Some of our interns are that young.
I'm only 14 and a half.
Chad's like nothing. And then what was Singleton? This is something that happened in Toronto or Montreal.
Montreal, yeah. Singleton is a conference that several local developers, Guy English, Scott Morrison, Luke Vandal, and Petra Mueller put together. And basically, they just bring a ton of people who do Mac and iOS software. They have developers, designers, media types. Jason Snell did this year's keynote.
Glenn
Fleischman
was there.
Did last year's.
Yep. Marco Arment was there. Wow, this looks great.
It was... It was absolutely fantastic. And the theme this year was on scaling. So it was how you handle scaling, how Apple handles scaling. Dan Morin and Lex Friedman did a fantastic presentation about how Apple being huge sucks for us, sucks for developers, sucks for
Apple. Dan Morin,
Apple.
Of course, of Path. I don't know who the other guy was.
Dan Morin and Lex Friedman, both Macworld editors.
Oh, that Dan Morin.
Yeah, that Dan Morin. Yeah.
Not Dave Morin, somebody else.
But they said it's better than Apple being small because that was no good for anybody.
Yeah. No, I'm glad Apple's doing well. You want everybody to do well. So there's nice competition. In fact, Eric Schmidt even says the defining fight in the technology industry today is Apple versus Android. He said this at All Things D conference.
But yeah. I don't think he said that it couched in competition is good.
We've not seen platform fights at these scales, he said. The beneficiary is you guys. Consumers, prices are dropping rapidly. That's a wonderful value proposition. Yeah, he is saying that.
Okay. All right.
He didn't want to talk about patent battles. He says, first of all, I don't understand the details. Second, this topic makes me too upset.
You want to hear from an executive chairman, right?
It hurts my tummy to talk about patent. The patent wars are death, he says.
He's almost like Steve Ballmer for me now, because every time he opens his mouth, you get days and days of headlines.
I love
it. Parsing what he said. Yeah.
But I do not disagree with this. He says the impact of the patent wars are not bad for us. Apple, Google, and Samsung are big enough we could afford to protect our technologies. It's worse for small companies. He says, I think this is ultimately bad for innovation. It eliminates choices. Couldn't agree more. I think he's absolutely right. He says Apple did make a mistake giving up their... The Google map, obviously. They should have kept our maps. The fact of the matter is they decided a long time ago to do their own maps. And we saw this. This is finally, we now know this is true. We saw this coming with their acquisitions. We've been saying that. Google, you knew. I think Apple has learned that maps are hard. We invested hundreds of millions of dollars in satellite work, airplane work, drive-by work. We don't call it drive-by work, but just don't. And we think that we have the best product in the industry. They asked Kara Swisher and Walt Mossberg said, well, are you making a new maps for iOS? I don't want to pre-announce products, but I can tell you that were we to do that, Apple would have to approve it.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
Apple would approve it.
If we were to do it, Apple will have to approve it. It's a non-answer. Or it's kind of like a little bit of like, well, it's up to Apple. But obviously, Apple's going to say yes. They can't afford not to say yes. In fact, Tim Cook pointed everybody to Google and Bing, said use their maps for the time being. Schmidt said he still thinks of Google, Amazon, Apple, and Facebook as the Gang of Four. He's been saying that for a couple of years now. Facebook is attempting to become the world's communication hub. Amazon is attempting to become the world's largest store. Why no Microsoft, asks Walt Mossberger. Schmidt said, well, it's a well-run company, but they don't make state-of-the-art products.
Ouch. Well, the funny thing is I do think they make state-of-the-art products. I just don't know if they
Who's market art?
Them. I don't think that I think Microsoft does make some state-of-the-art technologies. I don't know if it ends up as – they don't end up productized. They don't end up you know, there's a lot of technologies floating around there. They just don't
That's actually
end
a very good point. Surface. Yeah, that's you know, actually exactly right. Photosynth, for example, amazing technology. Exactly. Which they only released for iOS.
There was a great talk at Singleton by Michael Lopp. He used to work at Apple and now writes Rands and Repose. And he said that at every table, you need the designer, the developer, and the dictator.
Yeah.
And that the problem with Microsoft right now is since Gates left, there's no dictator. There's no one with a clear vision and making the decisive choices to a clear and consistent product line.
Actually, Eric Schmidt has volunteered, just so you know. he says, if I was on the Apple board, and I'll always have a soft spot for them. No, I'm sorry. I was on the Apple board, and I always have a soft spot for them. I was very good friends and very close to Steve Jobs. We miss him dearly. When they asked him if he wanted to be the CEO, he says, Jeff Bezos has made remarkable moves. Facebook has a billion users. If you had to be CEO again, they asked, would you choose Apple, Amazon, or Facebook? And he said, Apple. You know why? It has the most cash.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It would take the longest to run it into the ground.
I can do very little harm there. And I can't wait to spend that money.
Well, I do think one of the things that has made Apple very successful is how shrewd they are with that cash. I mean, they aren't spending it. I think a lot of companies have made a lot of missteps. I think that Apple makes, you know, the stuff that they buy tends not to be crazy expensive.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy expensive to us, but not compared to their cash availability.
Well,
they're not trying to buy AT&T or something like that. You know, and so I think that reasonableness, I think, has also been part of it. They're making a lot of money, but I think they're also not trying to buy their way out of a lot of things. I think they design their way out of a lot of things.
They're not buying Motorola.
Smart.
Right.
They did spend a little money on this, though. They have licensed the use of the Swiss railway clock. So if you were worried, you know, Apple in iOS 6 released a new clock application which had a striking resemblance to a trademark design for the Swiss Railway, National Railway, SBB. SBB was very kind about it. They said, hey, we noticed that, and I'm sure Apple will make it right.
In related news, iPads have become the new standard at the Swiss Railway for communication and
ticketing everything.
Well, you know, that would make me, I would appease me. We'll give you 1,000 iPads. What do you say?
Yeah, exactly. 1,000 iPads, 1,000 iPhones, and we'll write an app for you that shows how accurate your subway is.
The new ones, the minis. You'll love them, we swear.
Trains, yes.
Brief take on privacy, then we'll get our picks of the week. Apple has apparently, and we talked about this on Twit, and we found a very arcane way of turning this off. In the iPhone 5, or in iOS 6, I should say, the company has once again started tracking its users. You are opted in to a new tracking technology called IFA or IDFA. Remember the GUI the GUID that was in the iPhone? Apple deprecated because it was a source of concern. So they had basically stopped tracking iPhone users using not the GUID, GUID the UDID. That's the same idea, permanent non-deletable serial number that identifies every Apple device. For the last few months, iPhone users have not been tracked. However, in iOS 6, it's back on. Multiple mobile advertising executives familiar with IFA told Business Insider that, yeah, we can track. If you're curious, IFA or IDFA stands for Identifier for Advertisers, a random anonymous number assigned to each and every one of us and our device. It's temporary. It can be blocked. It's basically a cookie.
Yeah.
When you look at an app or browse the web, your presence generates a call for an ad. publisher's site you're looking at then passes the IFA to the ad server. The advertiser then says, oh, Leo's back, and can target that ad if they want.
Show him a new Mustang.
Yeah. Show him a Mustang. He'll buy one. The IFA does not identify you personally. None of these ever do. It's just aggregate audience data. Right, right, right. Tracking is on by default. It is not where you would think it would be. And Larry Magid published this and talked about it on Sunday on Twit in his larrysworld.com. You would think, looking at the iPhone, that it would be in the privacy section. But when you go there, no, there's nothing about it. You have to go to general, of all places.
About.
And then, yeah, about. Yeah, well, that's where you would get your phone number, et cetera, et cetera. Well, scroll all the way down. Oh, look, advertising. About advertising. Hey, by the way, and that is, I've turned it on. But normally it is limit ad tracking is off. Now, they don't
on
say
it needs to be off, right? So it's the opposite of what you think it would be.
Limit ad tracking, turn it on.
Yeah.
Which turns off ad tracking.
Yes.
Now, there is a learn more button. Let's see what we can learn. iOS 6 introduces the advertising identifier, a non-permanent, non-personal device identifier that, like the UDID, which was permanent, that apps will use to give you more control over advertisers' ability to use tracking methods. If you choose to limit ad tracking, apps are not permitted to use the advertising identifier to serve you targeted ads. In the future, all apps will be required to use the advertising identifier. However, until then, you might still get targeted ads, like on the Facebook app or whatever. Okay, so there you go. It's in general about. Who'd have thought? General about and advertising. Who'd have thunk it? This stuff doesn't get, as people know, doesn't get me up in arms, but I think it's important if it's something you're worried about to know.
I would prefer to get ads that I like.
I think ad targeting is a good thing.
I know. I mean, there's a lot of boring ads out there. I'd like to do more than just the subject matter, though. I'd like to have it know that I'd like to see funny ads.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see any.
Wouldn't that be good?
I don't want to see any product ads. I just want to see funny ads. Like, you should be able to not only get ads targeted, but you should be able to plus them as they're playing. Like, yes, this is good, or minus, and no, I don't want to see.
Yeah.
Like Pandora for ads.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I've always said. But, you know, people are very sensitive about the idea of tracking, and there's do not track and this whole furor over it. And so it's nice that they have a switch. It's interesting because, remember, Apple made a big deal about Google ending around the third party cookie protection that was standard in Safari. And I think a lot of people thought, see, Apple's protecting your privacy. And my position at the time was they're not protecting your privacy. They're protecting their right to sell your information over somebody else's right to sell your information. And that's essentially what Apple's saying here. You know, we're gonna manage this here through a central process that only we control. All right. Anything else? Should we move on? Let's move on. And I'm going to give you an ad that I did not have to track you for, because I happen to know that every single person who watches this show has an interest in protecting their data. If you have data, if you have technology, you have a hard drive, you need to back it up. And if you're going to back it up, you got to do it the right way. Automatically, so you don't have to remember it. Continuously, so anytime you make a change, boom, it's backed up. And, of course, off-site. You can't have it sitting next to the computer. What if there's a fire, a flood? What if you lose the stuff? Somebody steals it. You got to have it somewhere out there safe. That's what Carbonite does for you. For Macs or PCs, $59 a year for everything on your computer. They do have other plans, flat rate plans for multiple computers, small businesses, and so forth. But I think the basic plan at $59 a year is such a good deal. Not only do you get automatic continuous online backup, it's secure, uses SSL, so you can do it at an open hotspot, doesn't matter, protected. You can do further encryption if you want. It has trust no one encryption built in, only you have the key. It does allow you, now, there are certain things that won't work, by the way, with a trust no one encryption. That's the trade-off you're going to make. But among other things, you can get the ability to see your stuff in the cloud. I think if you use TNO, that's not going to work, obviously, because it's what they see is encrypted. But you can log into your Carbonite account. Actually, I guess if you are using a PC or a Mac, you're okay. Log into your Carbonite account. There's your stuff on any computer. They have a smartphone app. They have a tablet app. Those obviously can't use TNO encryption, but they can access your data, which is awesome. I want you to try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. You just need our offer code MacBreak. And I want you to use MacBreak, because then if you decide to buy, no obligation, but if you decide to buy, you'll get 14 months for the price of 12. 2 months free. You got to back it up to get it back. So do it right. with Carbonite. Make sure you use our offer code MacBreak if you decide to buy to save yourself some big bucks. As always, at the end of the program, we like to give you the highlight of the show, the pick of the week. Alex Lindsay, what do you got for us today?
My pick of the week is there's a new version of Cinema 4D, and I always kind of remind people of that because it's one of the core pieces of what we do. There's two basic 3D apps that we use for most of our work, in Cinema 4D and Modo. And I just think that Cinema 4D just came out with a new version about a month ago, but I didn't have a chance to play with it. And it's a lot faster, faster rendering. And for those of you who don't know what Cinema 4D is, it's a 3D modeling, rendering, animation app. And it is for especially doing things like logo animations, as well as character work, and a lot of other things. I mean, the gamut. This is just a great app. And one of the things that I find is it's still one of the easiest apps to learn as far as picking up a new 3D package. And it just keeps on getting more powerful. We've been using it for a decade. And it's one of the core apps along with Modo, and as far as a general purpose app that we use in our school in Africa that we're building out. In Rwanda, and also along with the Pixel Core. And it's just it's definitely worth downloading if you thought you want to play with 3D. We start everyone on this application because
is this better than, say, Lightwave or something less expensive?
Well, there's a lot of different versions of this, so there's a lot of options. I'm not sure what all the price points are, but there's not one. Obviously, the fully blown out version I think is pretty expensive, but you can get into using Cinema at a lot of different levels. There's now a student.
There's a demo version too, available. Which is nice.
There's a demo that you can download. There's also a student version. So if you're a student and you want to get into it, a lot of companies have gotten into doing student versions, and it's a very powerful. I would use it over something like Lightwave. There's a lot of very very high end apps like Maya and Softimage that are great if you are in a big facility. Not so good if you're by yourself. And so if you're in a smaller facility and you're looking for looking for something that for you to do that, whether it's educational or corporate or broadcast or film work, it's a great app to start working on. And you know that you're going to be able to take it a long way and really produce photo quality work, ongoingly. And that's what I love about it is that I can, I do classes with kids who oftentimes are like 12 to 17. That's how I design a lot of our curriculum, is working with 12 to 17 year olds in doing classes, because that requires me to really work hard at describing things. I can't make any assumptions. And, I'll spend a day teaching them some of Cinema and having them already doing things that just look gorgeous. And so definitely worth downloading. You can see a lot of these great renders here. They have a lot of great tools. I spend a lot of time going to broadcast companies. So I work with a lot of broadcast organizations for a variety of reasons. And so I spend a lot of time in their studios and their broadcast. And you just see this everywhere, especially for that type of thing. And so, when I was talking about render farms and most of the render farms that I see at this point are using at broadcast facilities are using Cinema. So just and a lot of these tools that looks like a complex, animation. And a lot of that is using what we call implicit animation particle systems to do a lot of these to do these things. So you're building whole controls. You're not animating every little piece. And again, whether it's Cinema or Modo or another application, 3D animation is just, I've been doing it for a long time, and it's so much fun. So, I think more than anything, I would just suggest, downloading these apps, seeing which one works for you. But I think that a lot of people, there's a lot of opportunity to express yourself just for fun, but also for, whether you're doing business presentations or you're a teacher and doing educational work. I think that looking at these, I know a long time ago they were very complex and very difficult to learn. And a lot of applications like Cinema have really made it easy to do a lot of this work very, very quickly for a variety of different things. And you shouldn't be afraid of it. So here's definitely check it out.
Here's the video they made using 4D of the Red Bull Stratus pre-viz before he actually jumped out of it. It's on the... So this would be, if you were going to pick one, like Lightwave or Maya or even Blender, which is free, you'd say this is the one to...
This is definitely the one that I would start with. Okay. Absolutely. Because, you know, it's definitely...
I'd love to be able to do this kind of stuff. It'd be so cool to be able to do it.
Well, I'll teach you. We should do it. We do.
How much time you got? Let's do a show.
Yeah, I'll do a show with you.
You want to do a show? You're never here, Alex, so don't tease me like
that. We got to do it in pieces. Just don't do it live.
I would love to do a show where we pick a program like this. Maybe we could even make a deal with somebody at Maxon to make a special version, a Twit version, and it'd be really cool.
We should talk about that. I'd love to do that.
Because I'd like to learn it myself. And I know there are people out there who would say, hey, it'd be really cool to know this, but how am I going to learn it?
Yeah, well, I think that this is... I would love to do that with you. So we should definitely talk about that. We do it a lot. It's
next time you're in town.
I'll be back soon after I think next week I'm on my way to Rwanda. But when I get back, we'll talk about it.
So I am looking. There's a broad range of prices. What I don't know. 4D Prime is $1,000.
Right. And so, you know, the first thing to do is download the demo, which is going to have a little bit of everything. And then and then you just decide, you know, a lot of that stuff, you know, you can start and then just keep on upgrading. You know, so a lot of the stuff is, and again, if you're a student, there are student versions now that are available. And so there's a lot of ways to get into this. And it is a, when we keep on talking about e-learning, for those of you who are, working part-time or trying to figure, you know, more time than money, more time than work, when you're looking at the e-learning market that I think is going to explode over the next couple of years, understanding these kind of applications is going to be a very important skill. So if you've got time, and even if you don't, if you're busy and still, I would still squeeze it in, but if you've got time, this is a great thing to get involved with.
Cool.
It's a great business.
Maxon, Maxon, makes Cinema 4D, as in doggy. And Mr. Imore, Renee Ritchie, what's your recommendation for the week?
My recommendation for the week is called Glassboard. It's by Brent Simmons, who's well known for Net Newswire and originally for Mars Edit. Yeah. And it's from Sepia, his new company. It's a little bit like Campfire, but it's more threaded than that. So, for example, we used it at Singleton to keep track of where everybody is and where everybody is going. He uses it at his company as a complete replacement. They use it instead of email. So you create rooms. You can have all sorts of separate, some private, some public rooms. You can share the invite code with anybody. So you can carefully control who gets access to which room the app supports. And then you just put messages in there. There's both a free and a paid version, but the free version is super functional. You can start threads. You can have replies to threads. It's really well organized. And we've tried a lot of things because when we cover CES or we cover Macworld, it's always hard to keep a team of people well organized and knowing where each other are and who's doing what task. And so far, this is the best one I've tried just because of the way it presents the data and the speed that it works and the notifications that it gives. So I was really impressed with how it worked this week.
Glassboard.com. This is new. I think Brent is amazing.
He is.
And he's done such great stuff. This is for iPhone, Android, and the web, which is kind of necessary for something that we're going to use across the enterprise. We should look at this, Chad, as a... We played with Podio for a while and other solutions like this, Basecamp. Glassboard, huh?
You just leave the web open when you're at your desk or you're in your company and you're working. And then when you have to go mobile, you just use the iOS or the Android app. And so far, it was absolutely flawless for the stuff that I've used it for.
Neat. And some people, he says, it's not just for business. You could use this with your family, for instance.
Yeah. Disney World, Leo. I mean, that was the best use case ever.
Disney World. Yeah. Wow. All right. Hey, now I want to try this. Glassboard.com. My pick is something you probably all know about, but Mac Heist 4 is about to begin a brand new mission. So if you're familiar with Mac Heist, they've done missions before. The idea is by downloading the app and solving the problem, you get free stuff. They have Mac OS X, iPad, and iPhone versions. The app itself is free. You solve puzzles. I haven't done a mission in a while, and they have some very interesting loot that you can get. Essentially, this is a big marketing campaign around a bundle of apps. You can find out more by visiting macheist.com. This just started, so I don't know what apps they're going to have. Right now, they're saying Music Box is the first one. Download, convert, import. But we'll find out as time goes by. And as it's in the past, that 25% of the bundle's income goes to charity. Usually what happens, developers donate inexpensive versions of their apps to Mac Heist. And some money goes to the developers, some money goes to charity. And you almost always, in fact, you do always get a good deal on the apps. They say they've raised $2 million for charities in the past three Mac Heists. That's pretty cool. So a good cause. And we all win. MacHeist.com. The apps will be announced tonight, so you might want to pay attention. Thank you so much, Alex Lindsay, for making the time in your very busy schedule to be here from Washington, D.C. Always great to see you. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I don't know if there's anything to plug. Someday, soon, you'll be able to buy stuff at PixelCorp again.
Yes.
By memberships.
We're working on it. We've really gone through a lot of design changes, and we're trying to figure out exactly how we want to add new people and what we want to provide for them. So people have to be patient with us as we do that. What's great about it is that all that stuff that you see constantly coming in is all building towards what we're doing there. So so it's exciting. We will be, hopefully, I'm going to get to stream a little bit from Rwanda next week. So I think I land on Wednesday night. I'm doing a talk at CMU, the Carnegie Mellon, in Kigali on Thursday. So if you're in Kigali, Rwanda, come visit. I'm going to be talking about visual effects and other stuff in media at CMU. And then hopefully we're going to be doing some launch events on the 26th, 27th. I think those are the dates that we have set up for it. And I'm going to try to stream from Rwanda. So people should they should follow me on Twitter, Alex Lindsay. And I'll tweet it out, or you can also find me, Alex Lindsay, on G+, and those will be the two places. And most likely I'll do a hangout from Kigali, from our school, which we believe has enough bandwidth as I get down there and do some testing. So stay tuned for that. That'll happen at the end of next week.
Good. Let's hope we can get you on Mac Break Weekly on a regular basis.
Yes.
Remember, there's a thing going on October 23rd if you're around.
I'm going to be in New York, and hopefully I will be available. So I'm trying to sort out my schedule right now, but I think I'm going to be actually able to do that. So
good. Stay in New York. We could send you to the Windows launch.
The Windows launch or the
the Windows launch is the 26th or 25th in New York. You want to go to a party?
I'll be in Rwanda.
Okay.
But I'll be in New York.
Oh, rats. Around.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to be there if the commute will be a little long. Yeah. So.
And thanks very much to Renee Ritchie, who is increasingly a regular on the show, and we like that. imore.com is his website. Great place to keep up on the latest Apple and Mac news, and you're always the best, Renee. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Leo.
The chat room loves you.
Oh, what a nice chat room.
Of course, there. It's always nice. And thanks to Chad Johnson, our producer. Chad, I found you a new T-shirt.
Oh, you did?
Plants vs. Zombies T-shirt. It's a perfect color to go with your red hair. It's a bright green. I think you'd look like Christmas. And it says, stop zombie mouth.
Yeah, no one wants zombie mouth.
You know, this is actually a campaign that Plants vs. Zombies and PopCap Games is doing for Halloween to replace Halloween candy with, like, zombie cards. And I think they're giving away free cards and stuff. StopZombieMouth.com. No! That's the point, Alex. Instead of sugary treats.
What's good with trading cards when you don't have that horrible, really, really hard gum that comes with it?
You're sure to get your house egged.
So I get it. So zombie mouth would be cavity mouth.
Cavities. They don't want your teeth to fall out. So instead of giving away candy,
I think you have to start slowly. I think you have to give kids a little candy with the cards this year, and then a little less candy, maybe some carrots next year. And then
desiccated
when you talk about
broccoli.
Yes, exactly.
It's crunchy. They're teaming up with the American Dental Association, and they are giving away free downloads of the full version of Plants vs. Zombies. Now, right. I think a kid would be happy
so
to
you get an
that.
App instead of candy.
Yeah. And then there's new characters in the Plants vs. Zombies trading cards.
My kids would enjoy the Plants vs. Zombie cards a lot longer than the candy.
Yeah, see? There's even 3D.
There's a new version of the game coming next year, so we're all waiting on that.
I can't wait. That's my favorite game. I love that. But I've kind of played it out. I keep waiting for something new. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We do this show every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live because the chat room is so useful to me personally. We love having you there. But if you can't watch live, on-demand audio and video made available after the fact. On twit.tv/mbaw. Twit.tv/mbaw. Thank you so much for being here. Stay tuned for the Gizwiz coming up next on most of these Twit stations. Au revoir. Now get back to work. Break time's over.